Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Kindling the Hearth Fire. How is everyone doing? Did you have a good spring equinox? Ostara is one of my favorite times of year, mostly for the candy at Easter, but also because it's another time to celebrate together and have some good fun. I love the Easter egg hunts as a kid and really enjoy seeing my younger family members continue the tradition and have a great time. This time of year is about fertility, a loved word if I ever heard one, and one that is really more complicated than most might think at first glance. We talked last time about what the Celts did for Imbolc, but in general, the Celtic people didn't really have such a grand show at the quarter days compared to the fire festivals on the main high days. But as a pan-Indo-European organization, ADF is not limited to just Celtic hearth cultures. I happen to know several people who belong to either a Hellenic or Roman hearth culture, but neither culture really gets talked about in general, which I find a great disservice in my humble opinion. So today we are going to briefly introduce or summarize what the Hellenic or Greek and Roman cultures would have done during this time of year according to the records we have available. The Mediterranean climate, which California shares in many ways, differs greatly from the one in Northern Europe, with the barren time being in the heat of summer and the fertile time being in the fall, winter, and spring, when the rains would come and it would be a little bit colder, but it would also get very wet. Festivals were often civic in ancient Greece and Rome. Not necessarily connected to the cycles of the seasons or crops. Each city and town often had its own calendar celebrations, especially in Greece, which were unique to its region. The most complete calendar we have for the cities of ancient Greece are the ones found in Athens. This time of year, or the spring equinox, was celebrated in Athens with the city or greater Dionysia. The Dionysia was a large festival in honor of the god Dionysus, as the name suggests, the central events of which were theatrical performances of dramatic tragedies and comedies. This particular festival was held from the 9th to the 13th of the lunar month, straddling the vernal equinox, probably to celebrate the harvesting of the year's crops. The story goes that the Eleutherians brought the statue of Dionysus to Athens, which was initially rejected by the Athenians. I have to wonder why it was rejected, especially considering the next part of the story. Dionysus then punished the Athenians with a plague affecting the male genitalia, which was cured when the Athenians accepted the cult of Dionysus and presumably their statue. This is recalled each year by a procession of citizens carrying phalluses into the city. Now, the cult of Demeter and the Maiden is also found in Attica. These festivals were always celebrated at the autumn sowing and at a full moon, according to Greek tradition. In some local cults, the feasts were dedicated to Demeter. And I'll get to how these connect with the spring equinox in just a second. The Greek version of the abduction myth of Persephone is related to grain, important and rare in the Greek environment. And the return, ascent, of Persephone was celebrated at the autumn sowing. Hades represents the wealth of the grain that was stored in underground silos or ceramic jars during the summer months. These are similar to the subterranean vessels that were used in ancient times for burials, thus connecting Hades with the dead and the underworld and all that good stuff. During the summer months, Core, or Persephone, is lying in the grain of the underground silos after it has been harvested in the spring. At the beginning of the autumn, when the seeds of the old crop are laid on the fields, she ascends and is reunited with her mother, Demeter. For at that time, the old crop and the new crop meet each other. Now, the Roman yearly calendar is a little different. Just about every day of the year has a holiday happening, and to try to fit them into the high day structure is a challenge. Personally, since this is not my hearth culture, and I'm just going to give you a rundown of a couple of the holidays that happen in March and April. In the old Roman calendar, the Mensis Martius, Mars month, was the first month of the year. It is named for a god, Mars, as the name suggests. March was the season of reawakening and renewal. The first month of the year and beginning of the campaign season. Remember what I said about holidays being civil rather about the seasons for the Greeks? It's kind of true in a bigger way here. The first of March was the original New Year's Day when the sacred fire of Rome was renewed. There was also a armed priesthood of the Sali celebrated the holiday for Mars on this day, which was also Mars' birthday. Also, what was celebrated here as well was the Maternalia, in honor of Juno Lucinda, Mars' mother. The next festival that I'm going to mention is the 15th of March, or the Ides of March. They were sacred to Jove, and also a feast of the year goddess Anna Perenna. You might include Mars or Jove in a spring celebration, and even voting in the elections for ADF actually lines up with this time of year in ancient Rome. April is a very busy month as well, though most of the holidays are associated with Earth deities. The original name for April in the Roman calendar was Aprilis, and on the 4th through the 10th was a week-long event of the Megalesia in honor of the Magna Mater, or Sibyl, who was the mother goddess and from which life sprung. And the 12th through the 19th, or the Cerealia, was a festival and games for the goddess Ceres, who is also another earth or mother goddess as well. And the last one I'm going to mention started from the 27th, and continued into the May 1st, was the Ludi Florales, in honor of the flora goddess of flowers and growing things. Okay? Celebrating and thanking the many earth goddesses who are continuing their work during the spring months would be appropriate during the spring equinox, according to the Roman or even the Greek calendar. It's truly fascinating to learn about how other cultures connect with the seasons and deities, and I love that ADF allows for that love of learning to continue and to flourish. Now, before we get into the main bulk of the podcast, where I collect pieces from members around the country that tell how they celebrate this time of year, let's take a bit of a musical break with a song performed by a lovely artist who performed at Pantheacon this year. Wasn't that lovely? Dogwood is a wonderful songstress who I love hearing. I could not believe my luck when she gave me her permission to use her work in my podcast. I first discovered her several years ago when she was performing at Pantheacon several years ago in a private room concert, and I purchased my first CD from her. The one that the song is actually from, which is Myths and Melodies, which you can find on sale on Bandcamp at dogwood.bandcamp.com. Please support this wonderful artist by buying her CDs and listening to her music. Moving into the main part of the podcast, I want to thank everyone who contributed. I have some very lovely responses and even one invocation. Let's get the ball rolling.
Larry at Trident Tata Grove traditionally celebrates the spring equinox as dedicated to the nature spirits in a very American hearth context. And one of the nature beings that we call on most years to be our gatekeeper is a very American elevated creature, and I just thought I would share with you the invocation that we use for our gatekeeper for the spring equinox. We call to you now, O spade-bearing guardian of the wilderness, you mournful motherless mascot forged in forest flames until scorched and scarred. Come, climb free of the sheltering tree. O wily wilderness walker, destined for domesticity in campaign hat and jeans, come gamble again in the growing green. O uncompromising ursine urchin, reminding recalcitrant revelers beyond buildings and cement, come speak the serious words of safety. O berry eater, handsome, watchful, wise forest friend, we call to you, fearless, powerful, guardian smoky bear, come into our sanctuary. Spade-bearing Smokey, be welcome among us. Spring in the desert is a trying time. We see winds in the springtime up to 65, 70 miles an hour. And today, being March 30th and the end of the March madness, is perfect example. We have over three tractor trailers have been overturned today in the windstorm. I saw a tree come down and hit two cars on the street. Windows shattered by flying rocks. Spring is tumultuous. But spring is also an interesting time in Las Vegas because temperatures are now somewhere in the mid-70s to mid-80s. We're minutes away from a time when a lot of trees will not grow well without water. Many plants are already well established. Weeds are knee-high. It's a time of cleanup. If you are into agriculture, it's a time where you would be worried about mid-season planting. Your herbs are ready to clip and bring inside to dry before the craziness gets here. We only have about a month and a half, 2 months tops before the weather is too hot for many tender plants to grow, and we'll have to shut down for the season. So spring as the equinox is a time of big changes. But the big changes aren't what I'm used to back east.
Hi, my name is Victoria Salnis. I'm a member of the Proto Grove of the Valley Oak. Spring equinox for me has always been a time of celebration. It is the time, even here in California, where the rain has been going on for months. This is the time when the plants start to bloom, when you start seeing the birds out again, the small animals, and all of life really comes out again. It's a beautiful time of the year for me. At this time of the spring equinox, we often will celebrate Ostara, a goddess who is sometimes said to be not a goddess. She was attested by the Venerable Bede to actually be the goddess that the month of April was named after. But that is the only place that she is mentioned. And so many folks say that she is not a goddess and aren't really sure what she is. But we call upon her as a spirit of the land, as the spirit of spring, as the spirit of growth and life and fertility and all things coming into being, and celebrate her at this time of the year.
My name is Sarah, and I am in Cascadia Grove. I guess I've always struggled with the equinoxes because they weren't really historically observed as we think of them, since they are a byproduct of our ability to scientifically observe their occurrence. I've always wondered why we continue to include them really, when it seems so few pagans take it to any level beyond just Easter light. I suppose it may be really important to some druids and other pagans, so I don't want to slight that, but I'm just referring to my own personal experience. For me, I like to work with the concepts of balance and renewal at this time. It's obviously around this time that people start planting seeds, and this year I want to think about the seeds I want to plant that could have a larger impact beyond myself. There's so much stuff going on in the world right now that I've felt really overwhelmed, as I suspect others have. So I think I want to focus on a few specific things that I want to plant and see grow. So with that in mind, I'll be planting some basil with the magical intent of having it represent those key things I would like to see flourish and take root beyond myself, and with the practical intent of wanting some yummy pesto. I'll also be walking a labyrinth as a meditation. I've done these kind of meditations for a while, and I find that they're useful when you're trying to solve a difficult problem. The solution usually comes to me as I am getting to the center, and the ideas get clearer as I wind my way back. With the equinox, I'll be considering the metaphor of the seed again, gestating under the earth, waiting for that sign that it's time to move toward the light. As I walk back, I'll think about moving toward the sunlight and what that means for me at this time.
I always love hearing from people about what they have been up to. I also love to read to distraction, so the next segment is one of the favorites on the show. Last podcast, I had just picked up Dreamwork for the Initiate by Shauna Aura Knight, directly from the author at Pantheacon. I've read it cover to cover and decided that it belongs on my bookshelf and not in the bin. The book isn't very long, and if you are looking for a detailed 101 of Dreamwork, this is not the book for you. But I found many of its chapters to be luminary and insightful. The book is broken up into basic chapters that deal with many of the common problems and or confusions associated with Dreamwork. It begins at the beginning with dream incubation and moves in a logical progression towards taking your dreams beyond your sleeping hours into the beginnings of trance work. It is a very generalized work, but chapters do contain signposts and a link to places where there is more information that can be found. This was a very personally driven work. The language used and the composition of the book itself point towards a great font of personal knowledge in the subject of dreams. The only real complaints about the book was there was a very short bibliography and how the chapter titles were presented. I would overlook these minor qualms when looking at the amount of knowledge that I gained. It truly was a quick but useful read, and I will turn it to it as a reference for many years to come. I was personally able to experience firsthand Shauna's abilities as a leader in ritual at Pantheacon. She led a ritual using principles she spoke about in another workshop concerning the place of song and voice in ritual. It was both a fantastic workshop and ritual. She has written several nonfiction books, including The Leader Within, Ritual Facilitation, and Spiritual Sense. She's also a columnist on Ritual Techniques for Circle Magazine, a regular blogger for Pagan Activists, and her writing appears in the anthology Stepping Into Ourselves, an anthology of writings on priestessing, Mantle of Stars, and Calling to Our Ancestors. Prolific fantasy artist. I saw a few of her works at Pantheacon and truly wished I could afford to splurge on just one piece. Where you can reach her online, she does have all these links listed on her website. But she has, and I list the links themselves on in the show notes as well at the end, because there are a lot of them. She has a Twitter, a Pinterest, a leadership blog, a Facebook page for her leadership work, a fiction blog, a Facebook page for her fiction, an Amazon page, and also you can find her at Goodreads as well. She has a page there as well. Please support this wonderful artist by buying her books and her artwork. Next time, we'll be reviewing The Healing Magic of the Trees by Sherilyn Hidalgo. Okay, so next up is the schedule, which is listing of some pagan events that ADF either has a presence at or has a place in running or puts it out themselves. The next festival that's coming up is actually one of our events. It's the Trillium Spring Gathering. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll actually have already started, because it started on April 13th and ends April 16th. It's over in Cross Junction, Virginia, and you can find out all that information at TrilliumGatheringADF.org. Okay, and the next event that's coming up is also one of our own. It's Wellspring. It starts on Thursday, May 25th, and goes until Monday, May 29th, and it is held at the Tridara Retreat Center in Madison, Ohio. And you can find more information and find the ability to register as well on their website at www.stonecreek.org/wellspring. And once again, I'll be listing all the websites in the show notes. Okay. All right. Wrapping up, I would just like to first thank you all for your submissions. And I would especially like to thank Bonnie and Dogwood. Bonnie, who you heard in the intro with Fire Burn Bright, and Dogwood with Ballad of the Psychopomp from her album Myths and Maladies. We're getting ready to put the Beltane podcast together here at Kindling the Hearth Fire. And if you have any ideas, celebrations, poems, songs, invocations, rituals that you'd like to hear included in this podcast, please forward them to kindlingthehearthfire@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook as well. Deadline for submissions for the next podcast is Friday, May 5th. I also would like to see pictures of your Beltane celebrations. Either post them to the Facebook group or post them on Instagram with the hashtag KTHBeltane. And that's all one word. And once again, I'll be posting all of these text things that you, so you can find them in the show notes, just in case you missed them or you can't understand a word I'm saying. Just saying. Thank you again to all those contributed, and thank you all for listening. Thank you again to all who contributed, and thank you all for listening. Tune in Saturday, May 13th, for another episode of Kindling the Hearth Fire, where we will be talking about Beltane and May Day. We will also be having a couple special guests for a new segment of the show. We will be discussing the ADF virtue of hospitality and how it comes to play in their own lives and daily practice. Be sure to tune in. Be well, and may you continue to pray with a good fire.